Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, episode number 7. Brian Bland, how we doing?
Doing well. Got an exciting trip coming up this week.
Yeah, very exciting. It's the culmination of everything we work hard for and train for through the season, so I'm pretty pumped to head out to Iowa.
Absolutely. We got had a pretty eventful trip to regionals.
Yeah.
And, you know, those guys who qualified at the regional tournament are going to go to nationals this week. But I think it's, you know, barring something crazy happening at nationals, you know, been a good season so far. I think we're peaking at the right time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And before we jump into all of that, I want to remind everyone watching and listening that you can find the podcast on all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, et cetera. You can also find it on Newberry Podcast Hub on our official athletics website. And so, yeah, before we jump into the competition recap, I want to shout out all of our Pin Pool members. I want to give you a quick update as well. So me and Coach were just doing a quick count. We actually were able to get 7 more pins at the region tournament, which brings us to 66 now on the season, Coach.
Yeah, huge performance. I give the guys a hard time all the time about not being able to pin anybody. I guess they decided to show up when it mattered and prove me wrong.
Right. They definitely showed up. And Chris was one of the wrestlers who helped us show up. He had 2 pins in that tournament, now jumps the lead with 7 in total, and John Parker's right on his heels with 6.
Yeah, and he made a big push for fastest pin, but couldn't quite catch Damon Lovelace's 10-second pin from the Newberry Open. He had an 11-second pin at the Super Regional, so yep. Right there.
But hey, it was still a good effort from him. And this isn't really a stat that we usually keep, but shoot, I would say has the most exciting pin of the year, knocking off number 1 Saliga. That was a crazy match.
Yeah, it was. The thing about it, when you see the number 1 kid in the country got pinned, you think he probably got caught. Mm-hmm. But no, Shoup was
winning.
Yeah, Shoup was dominating that match, and Saliga tried a desperation throw, and that's kind of how he got caught. But yeah, Shoup was dominating that match, and had he not tried that desperation throw, we just would have got beat pretty good on points.
Yeah, and we'll get into that recap, but that match was crazy for its own reasons too. You know, we go down, we give up. I think we might have given up 2 backs.
Yeah.
Kind of reverse. It was kind of crazy, but we'll get into that. But definitely most exciting pin of the season. Shoup definitely had his work cut out for him, so I'm excited to get into that recap. But I want to say thank you to all of our Pin Pool members for your support so far. Our national champion members, Donna Thomas, Scott Thomas, Kirsten Benden, Paul Watson, Casey Richardson, Fernando Dominguez, Mary Beth, and Bob Parker, and Jacoby Benjamin. Jacoby actually made a trip out to regionals too, so it was great to finally meet him in person. But I'm super grateful for your support at that national champion level, and for all of our members. We couldn't do the great things that the program is able to do for our student athletes, not only on the mat but off the mat, without your support. So thank you. And just a quick update, we haven't reached our goal yet. Right now we're bringing in $312 a pin, and we're, like I said, we're at 66 pins on the season. We still got a couple days to help make that push for $400. So if you know people who haven't pledged yet, feel free to share the link on social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you can do. Word of mouth is really what's going to help us make up this last, what are we at, 88 bucks.
Right. And not suggesting you should, but if you feel like upping that pledge a little bit, that'll help us get there as well.
Definitely. So thank you guys. I appreciate that. And one quick reminder for all of our national champion Pin Pool members, you are invited to our end of the year banquet, awards banquet, where we give out our performance awards and superlatives. Last year it was a great dinner that we had at Steel Horse Smokehouse, and we'll be back there again this year. It's going to be Sunday, April 2nd at 1:00 p.m. So be looking for your invite in the mail from me and or Coach, but just let us know if you're going to come so we can make sure we're prepared for you, but you are invited to that.
And that'll be right here downtown Newberry for those of you who don't know. So just kind of, if you hear this and as you wait on your invitation, kind of want to start making plans, that's where it's at, and that's where you need to show up.
Yep, absolutely. So, Coach, want to give a quick reminder on summer camps.
Yeah, summer camps will be here June 17th through 23rd. Registration's live, so you can find it at newberrywrestlingcamps.com. There are 3 different options. There's the Takedown Elite, Tough on Top, and then the competition duels with teams. If you don't have a team, if you're an individual and you want to come and compete, that's fine as well. We'll just kind of either create a house team of all the individuals, or we'll farm you out to a team that needs that weight class. But we always find a way to make it work. Last year we had 12 or 13 teams. Everybody had at least between 10 and 12 matches. We had placements. The team that took first place at our duels ended up, they were here for the whole camp, stayed for the competition, won the competition, and won a state title this year. So kind of the proof is in the pudding sort of thing. And then the team that took second at our thing, I think they took second in North Carolina, or they were in the finals, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
But had a very solid performance this year as well. So, you know, if you know any wrestlers who want to come out and wrestle with us and get better and train this summer, send them to us. Like I said, June 17th to 23rd. There's three different options. There's discount if you package a couple options together. And one additional thing we're going to do this year is build in like a kind of a beginner group into each section so that, you know, if you're a really advanced guy, we don't want to be slowing you down with stance, right? But at the same time, if you've only been wrestling a year or so, we don't want to be over your head. So we'll actually sort of divide the group up and take some beginners and guys who need to work on some fundamentals, kind of break those guys off to the side with, you know, we'll have enough staff here to give everybody individual attention. But that's one thing we're going to add this year with feedback from last year. And I think, you know, I look forward to another great summer.
Yeah, definitely. And one additional thing that we'll be doing is running those duels on Flow Wrestling. So if you are, you know, a parent or a coach back home, you can't make the trip with your team, you can watch it. It'll be streamed on Flow and it'll be ran on Track. So updates will be provided live in real time. So I'm excited about that upgrade as well. And two of those teams that he mentioned in South Effingham and Hoke County, they will also be joining us too. So not only is it going to be a great experience camp wise, but you know the competitiveness is going to be there as well. Let's move on. I want to jump into this competition recap, Coach. So Super Region Championships, we're trying to bring back number 11, but we were not able to get it done.
Listen, we've known Lander's been a solid team all year, but where did Mount Olive come out? I mean, they came out of nowhere. Yeah. They showed up for regionals just, I don't know, it was like the Monstars from Space Jam. I mean, they just rolled up ready to go. Like, it hadn't been anywhere all year. We beat them fairly handily here. But, man, they showed up ready to go at regionals.
Right, I think they only won, one or two matches when we wrestled them.
Yeah.
So, they put it together. You know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed that we finished third in that overall team race. But it just wasn't our year. You know what I mean? If winning a Super Region title was easy, then we would have a lot more than 10 of them.
Right.
So, you know, Lander, like you said, they've had a phenomenal season. UMO has had a great season in comparison to the other seasons that they've had as well. So both programs are doing a great job. And like I said, it wasn't our year. But at the end of the day, I was still super proud of the six guys, really of all 10 guys, but of the six especially that qualified for
it. Right. And when you look at some of the things that held us out of, you know, some of those points, you know, Zabrandon, he lost – in overtime, a match that he was winning. He was winning 5-2 going into the third period. He's been battling a torn labrum. There's a pretty severe one all season, and got in a scramble there late, shoulder dislocated. He had to finish that match with one arm, and it just wasn't in the cards for him. Will Evans, kind of same thing. He's been battling injuries, a re-injury of the same knee but a different – you know, spotting that knee. He's kind of been fighting through some stuff. We thought he might be able to make some magic happen and make some sparks fly and pull out some team points there, but he just kind of – the odds were stacked against him as well. And, you know, the other guys, you know, Fletcher, I think he messed up his shoulder in one of the matches. So, you know, just a tough weekend for some of those guys. But, you know, like Chris Walton, he made it to the third and fourth place match, dropped a tight one to a guy who's seen him, made some adjustments. It's always tough to beat a guy twice who's halfway decent, and that guy had a game plan and was able to steal one, but that didn't stop Chris from contributing to the team score with those pins and to the pin pool as well. So super proud of those guys. Those three guys with injuries, you know, they were warriors. They battled through it. Hats off to them. But, again, Will Evans and Zabrandon Gant both return All-Americans, so you got to imagine if they're a little more healthy, they're going to contribute and potentially qualify as well. So hate to see that, you know, in that way for them, but super proud of the other six.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, that's a story that's pretty common, regardless of what the team. Like, every team has that kind of thing going on.
Right.
Know what I mean, injuries, they happen. And I think a part of being a good team is your ability not only to peak at the right time, but just you need a little luck too at the end of the day to be healthy at the right time.
Right.
You know. So and like I said, it just wasn't our year, but very, very proud of all 10 guys. And I wanted to recap here briefly just the six guys we got qualifying. So Shoot, we already mentioned in passing, had himself a day.
He went off.
Finished in second place, knocks off Saliga from UNCP, who, if I'm not mistaken, majored him in our duel at Pembroke. And so we come back, and then we not only are beating him, but then we pin him to win that match.
Right. Yeah. And Shoop kind of talked about all year that he got thrown, not a desperation throw, but a throw at that duel. And that was really kind of the difference in the match. I'm not sure if he got majored or if it was just by six. Because I want to say he kept saying that the throw was kind of the difference.
So was it a major? It was
10-0. Okay, yeah. So he did get majored. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that throw was the entire difference. But either way, got thrown, got way out behind the eight ball early and had to fight back. And he was still coming off of his own situation from earlier in the year where he wasn't quite there yet. And so he felt like that was one that he could win. And, you know, on paper, you're kind of thinking, that was a gap now.
It's 10-0. You go back.
Right, but he certainly closed it.
He did. He did. Now, and not only did Saliga beat him 10-0, but then he went on to win Midwest. So if there was any question about his ability, you know, you got a tough James Joplin out there. You got a really tough bracket, 125 in Midwest, and he wins the whole tournament. So for Shoop to come back and be, in my opinion, one of the toughest weight classes in the in the region and get out, it was super impressive to me because you got the number one kid in the country at 25. You got a returning All-American in Radcliffe from Limestone. And then you got James Joplin, who in the latest poll in the individual rankings is, let's see what they got him at. They have him at number three in the country. So, I mean, a loaded, but and you think only top three go.
Right.
He comes in at number four on the seeding. So he had his work cut out.
Absolutely. And, you know, he was very confident in his position in that bracket, which, you know, when you go into the tournament feeling good about who you've got to face, I mean, that's a good thing, and Shoop certainly stepped up. So yeah, hats off to him.
Yeah, proud of him. And moving on here to Josh Black, who also finished in second, had a great day, was able to secure a pin against UNC Pembroke, helping towards that pin pool. But, yeah, I was super proud of him, too. Had to go beat a really tough Limestone kid, I'm not going to lie. That was the match I was most nervous about just because of how it went when we wrestled Limestone the first time. That style matchup is not great for Black.
Right. Yeah, I felt like he controlled the match both times well enough. Actually, I was a little more nervous during the match the second time just because a couple of those things that Black usually does really well, he just kind of missed an opportunity here or there, gave up that one takedown early off of it actually looked like he snapped and the kid fell into a shot.
Right.
But the kid was so quick and explosive that he was able to finish that shot. But, yeah, I thought Black wrestled really well, and I think –
and he bonus pointed him. He made your
decision. Yeah, and then he came back and pinned the Pembroke kid who had upset a couple guys. And then in the finals, you know, just continue to close that gap on the number one kid in the country. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who it is. As long as – I mean, if you're wrestling the number one kid in the country, you know, tight with giving yourself a chance to win a match, like you're right there. So
absolutely. And you kind of mentioned closing the gap. I think we did a good job of that at 25 as well. Before I move on too far from Shoop, you know, Shoop wrestles Joplin twice before that region finals matchup. He gets pinned in a headlock both times. So to see him go, you know, that full match, and really at the end of the match, Shoop was pushing the pace. You know, like we were looking to score that last takedown. And so yeah, I was just proud to see him close that gap and make those adjustments.
Yeah, I think the what I saw from them from a mentality standpoint to me is the most impressive because they stepped up ready to go, accept the challenge and be ready to answer the call, and you know they didn't shy away from it at all. So that was big, and that's the type of thing that's going to translate well to the national tournament.
And same thing for Black. You know, we had to see Zeth Brower again in the finals, who beat us 7-3 at home when we were here, and then we dropped a close 1 point. Was it 1 or 2 point decision?
Yeah, 3-2 maybe, or
3-2 decision. I'm looking at it right here. So, very proud of the adjustments that we made there. And then moving on at 149, the champ,
Devin Moore,
getting it done, and looking good while doing it. He went out and you know, not only did he win it, but I would say he just continued to be consistent with what we've seen from him all year. Not living and dying by the takedown, committing to his ride on top, getting to his turns, hitting clean re-attacks. You know, I think in the finals against Tangen, had the ref been in position, we wouldn't have went all 7 minutes that match.
Right.
So
yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of it, too, the difference is all year last year, I felt like, and then even at times at the beginning of this year, the discussion with Devin Moore was frustration that we're losing matches because of certain mental breaks and certain ways that he's handling some things and approaching some things. And now it's nice to be able to, when I see a glimpse of that, I'm able to critique a win for that sloppy moment, you know? And so that's the hugest part for me. I mean, he's really accepted all the coaching and the criticism and taken it and built on it. And he's, you know, it was a pretty dominant performance throughout the weekend, that he wasn't really in a match that I felt like was really in question.
No, I mean, his closest match was, so we had a bye first round, then he had he almost teched Dimitri from King in the first period, but then decided he wanted to just trade roll through tilts. But outside of that one,
right.
You know, still got it done 13-4. And then Piccirilli, we majored, well, not major, but we beat 8-2. And then we beat Tang at 8-2 as well in the final. So, like you said, we put some distance on all of those guys.
Right.
So, yeah, moving on, 165. PJ, pin number one seed.
It was wild.
Yeah,
pin number one yeah.
seed in what he keeps calling Gator Bacon. I hate that name.
Yeah, I do too.
What do you call it?
Cement job.
Elevator.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a rolling cement job elevator. But yeah, that single leg, front headlock roll through situation. But has been wrestling solid, wrestled well, looked good. Came out of the gates. I think he got taken down pretty quickly, and that was part of his escape. But like he'd gotten to his feet. Perkins dropped down the single. PJ turned in, hit the elevator, and didn't stick him right away. I was a little nervous. He was took him like a minute. To get the fall, but he got the fall. First period pin against the number one seed.
Yeah, that was huge.
It's hard to complain about that.
And like you said, I mean, winning is a skill. You know, I mean, Cable Spears comes to mind. Wrestling Beamer out in mm-hmm. Nationals last year. Same kind of deal. You know, that opportunity was there to end the match, and when you see that opportunity, you got to take it. So I was super proud of him for doing that.
Yeah, and I mean, just the best part about it was that was the semifinal. So, you know, you punch your ticket to the national tournament, then it doesn't matter what happens in the next match. Obviously, you want to wrestle well. You want to increase your stock, increase your seeding potential at the national tournament. But either way, tickets punched, flights booked, let's go.
And so he had made his way to the finals. He dropped that one and finished second place to Hunsberger, 5-2. But again, made some adjustments, and I think I don't even think for PJ is technical, man. I think he just needs to continue to believe in the skills he already has. I tell you that probably
yeah. every day. I think he gave Hunsberger a little too much respect in that one because Hunsberger had PJ had that habit of starting slow a little bit. We were on him. You know, PJ's capable of scoring 8 points, but he's got to be down by 7 to do it.
Right.
You know, and that's what's frustrating. So I think he kind of had the slow start here, but the result was in his head more than the way he wrestled.
Absolutely.
And he, I think, gave a little too much respect to Hunsberger. You know, if you want to go out and beat a guy, you got to respect him, but you can't give him that much respect and let him get, you know, get started hot and then expect to come back and beat a good wrestler like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely expect for him to continue to make those adjustments mentally. But, you know, it's good to say that technically he's there. We just need to get there confidence-wise. And I think that comes with experience and stuff like that.
Yeah, pull the trigger. If he pulls the trigger, he's very hard to beat.
Definitely. So moving on to 174, Dayton Fields. Outside of the 5 seconds where he forgot to belly down, guy has him up in the air, double leg, we're kind of around his head, and we just forget to bail and belly down, partly because of his style. You know, I bet in his mind he thought he was going to try to pull something out. But outside of that 5 seconds, he looked phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, he looked great all weekend. And honestly, like, I kind of attribute that match to us not finishing a second mm-hmm. because it was the Mount Olive kid who we were beating like
– It was bad. It was –
Yeah, it was very bad. And getting a little funky scramble, the kid kind of comes up and Dayton's in a front headlock, allows the kid to kind of turn into a double situation and lift us and put us to our back. And then it really looked like he just forgot he was in a wrestling match. I mean, it looked like he could have still bellied down even after he was returned. Frustrating in that moment. But again, when you've wrestled 2.5 periods of dominant wrestling, you know, dominant score, and yeah, you get stuck on something that shouldn't happen, but then to come back and wrestle well and knock off a couple really tough guys. I mean, knocked off Jack Bond from Lander.
Yep,
pinned him. Came away with the fall there.
Had to avenge his loss against Hoffman, who he lost to at UNC Pembroke when we wrestled him.
Yeah, and then wrestled the Belmont Abbey kid who was really tough for third and fourth and was able to get a win there. So, I mean, just phenomenal day by Dayton Fields. And from a wrestling perspective, obviously, like, I would rather him be in the finals and have a chance to win a regional title. But from a wrestling perspective, I'm almost glad that he was able to come back and take third the way he did because he was able, like you said, to avenge a loss, knock off a couple solid opponents, you know, prove that grit and take third and qualify. So huge weekend for him.
And it shows tremendous leadership too, to be able to have that short term memory. You didn't get what you want, and being, you know, being the number one guy in the region and then taking third is not what you want. So to see him be able to bounce back and come back and not lose a beat in those next matches to qualify was something that I needed to see from him.
Exactly.
And it just continued to double down on the fact that he's mature, he's ready for the championships, and I'm super glad we got him here.
Oh, absolutely.
So moving on, Devin Rice, I was super happy for this guy, man. He was right there last year, right there. And he finishes in third, punched his ticket, dropped a tough one to on riding time to Juan Holmes. You know, Juan is Juan. He's having a good season. But to see him come back and have to beat a guy, Massimo from UNC Pembroke, who beat him at Midwest, even though it was on some, you know, whatever. He lost. So to have to beat that guy twice to make it to Nationals was fun.
Yes. I wish the sense of urgency that was evident after he lost to Juan had been there before the match with Juan, because I think we might be in the finals if that happens. But I agree. I mean, taking a guy that beat you at Midwest, going out and beating him handily the first round, wrestling back, getting the same guy for third, who's already – he knows the recipe to beat you because he's done it, and he knows the adjustments you've made to beat him. You got to think the ball's back in his court, and for, you know, to be able to come away with a win there is huge.
And that match was especially fun because he got the takedown first in the first period. And I think the first time they wrestled, it was an overtime match, actually, in whatever round it was at the region championships. But that's I think, what helped him really open it up in that last, for third and fourth, is that fact that he got that takedown pretty early on in the match.
Right. And that was something that we had been talking about, and I had been saying it to him, like, hey, if we go out and get the first takedown, and I would tell him kind of how the match is going to go. Before that, when he came to me, he goes, I got to get the first takedown. I was like, yes, you do. Let's go do that.
And he did that. So a great tournament all in all. Like I said, we finished third. Lander finished first with 164 points. Mount Olive finished in second with 115. And then we were right behind him with 111.5. So we got some work to do in closing that gap. But before we worry about regionals next year, Coach, we're going to Iowa.
Yeah, we got Nationals.
Yeah, we got Nationals. So I'm pumped to get out of there or to get out there and wrestle. But before we give you our quick preview on the National Championships, we want to jump into this interview we had with Joey Grisco. He was an awesome friend of mine. He lived right next door to me over in Kiner Hall. So I remember him and Brock Kutu, man. We used to have good times, and he's just a great guy. It's a nice change of pace for us because I think the last two or three guests we've had on the show have either been fighting or in coaching, and he's, you know, not involved much at all in any of those things. So it's just a nice change of pace to hear somebody being able to take what they do or what they did and learn on the wrestling mat and apply it to their career.
Yeah, a lot of fun talking to him and catching up. But like you said, a breath of fresh air to get somebody who does something that's outside of the world that we're immersed in every day.
Right. So here we go. Joseph Grisco, 2013 All-American. Hope you guys enjoy.
How you been?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How are you?
Good. Can't complain, man. Same old, same old.
Yeah. Look at you, all adult and professional.
I know, right? Trying to do my thing over here, trying to be professional, trying to make a dollar, you know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I don't know the last time I seen you. It might be the last time we were both at Newberry, you know.
I think it was. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you joining us, man. Before we get started, just take a couple seconds to introduce yourself, let everybody know who you are and when you graduated from Newberry.
Of course. I appreciate you guys having me. I am Joe Grisco. I graduated from Newberry back in 2014. I wrestled there for 5 years. I did have a red shirt, so I came in 2009. But, yeah, spent my whole career there. Loved it.
Yeah, and you left out the part about – he left out the part about being an All-American, Bland.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah. I don't like to brag about myself now. But, two-time national qualifier, All-American in 13, my junior year. Came up a little short my senior year, ended up.
We actually AA'd the same year. My senior year, junior year.
Yes,
think
we
Blake
did.
Got on the podium. That's
Birmingham?
Yeah, Birmingham, Alabama. Yep.
Roll Tide.
Dirty knee pull.
That's right.
Grisco's got the dirtiest left hand knee pull ever.
It was nice.
It worked, man. It worked.
High finish percentage.
That's right. That's right.
I think you got on the podium that year, Blake Ridenhauer and Vesta.
Yep. Yes. Yep. It was us four. Correct. Yeah.
You had the best knee pull. Vesta had the best three quarters.
Man, that three quarter was deadly. Didn't he lead the NCAA in pins that year or something? I believe so.
And everybody knew it was coming. And he wasn't like that strong of a guy. I just never understood how it worked.
The fact that people knew it was coming and they still couldn't stop it. Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. I reached out to you because the last few guys we've had on the podcast have been pretty deep in the trenches as far as like coaching or fighting. And I thought it'd just be a breath of fresh air for, so to speak, to have somebody. I know you're still probably involved in the sport. I'm not sure that's part of the reason why we got you on, but I know at least your day to day, you're super involved with the sport. So just wanted some perspective on what life is like outside of wrestling and how wrestling's prepared you for what you're doing now. But let's kind of start at the beginning. So you're from Jersey originally?
Absolutely. Yep. Born and raised in New Jersey. Started wrestling at the age of four up there. New Jersey's one of the top, I would say, one of the top states in the country for youth and, high school wrestling. Yep. So it was definitely instilled very early, 4 years old, all the way through college, 25 plus years of experience. And then, after I graduated, I did stay involved a little bit. I actually went to the other side of things with wrestling. I actually became a New Jersey state official.
Oh, nice.
So I was officiating. I was on the other side of things. So I got the brunt of, angry parents, angry coaches, That's never fun. But so I did that for a couple of years until I got a little bit too busy with, my career and everything. And it just kind of took away from it. So I'm not involved as much as I wish I could be, but as much as I can be. Yeah. I try to help out the local high school and those types of things whenever I can. But as far as transitioning to the professional world, man, I owe so much to the sport of wrestling. I'm in mortgage sales. So I work for Prosperity Home Mortgage. I'm a mortgage loan originator. So I'm in mortgage sales. It's a, highly, competitive kind of market right now, especially, in the housing market right now. So wrestling has done so many things on that end, the competitiveness of, the competitive drive, the grind that, the everyday just kind of grinding it out, trying to get as many deals as you possibly can in this world. It definitely, wrestling has contributed to that more than anything, I'd say, in my life.
Nice.
Yeah. Plus if they don't sign, you can just hand fight them a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Just
push the issue.
Kind of start hand fighting and
snap a few front headlocks.
Yeah.
So how did you get into that? What was your major in college? Was it business or anything or something like that?
No, actually, my major in college was sociology, criminal justice. So the original plan was going to law enforcement. So I ended up kind of steering away from that, a couple things with, just the way police in America, right? And, I'm not going to get too much into that, but that and, just other opportunities came about with my career that ended up going a different route. But, yeah.
Did you have to seek additional schooling for that and training and stuff?
I did. Yeah. So there was there is testing. It's the NMLS licensing for, mortgage banking. You do have to be licensed for that. So there is, a course and test that you do have to get and certified. Yeah.
Gotcha. And it wouldn't have been that crazy of a route because I can think of three Jersey guys off the top of my head that left Newberry and are in law enforcement right now. What I mean? Both Newman brothers. And I think Joey Rocha too, right, Blaine?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, when Drill was like, we're going to talk to Grisco, I was like, oh, yeah, he's a cop, right? And he was like, no, I think he's doing some mortgage stuff. I was like, man, I could have swore he was training to be a cop. But, because you were doing ride-alongs and all kind of stuff when you were finishing up school.
Yeah, when I was in Newberry, I did the internship with the Newberry Police Department. So, yeah, I hung out with them, did ride-alongs, did all that stuff. So, yeah, I was pretty entrenched in that kind of world for a little while and then just went a little bit of a different direction. Hey, it ended up all working out. So
there you go.
Well, let's talk wrestling a little bit before we jump back into your career, because I would like you to give some insight on like what your day to day is like specifically for guys, because we got a lot of guys on our team interested in real estate and into the mortgage thing, and
right.
So I think your insight could be really valuable. But what led you to Newberry to begin with?
Yeah, honestly, the scholarship money, to be completely honest. When I was looking at colleges, Newberry was actually the only Division II school I was looking at.
Okay.
I had a couple offers from NC State, Virginia Tech, UNC Greensboro when they had a program, a couple of those D1 schools. So Newberry ended up offering a full scholarship where most of the D1 schools were more towards like a 75%.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, for me, money talked. So that's kind of the route I went with Newberry. And, you know, when I was on my visit, I just liked the atmosphere, the small town college feel, you know, small classroom sizes, those types of things. So that ultimately, you know, that and the money played part in my decision.
No, that's, I mean, I think we could all agree that, like you said, money talks, man.
That's right.
But then fast forward, you get here, you have a solid career. Are there some like particular moments that stick out in your mind as far as, you know, ones you can talk about on the podcast and that kind of thing? Because I know me and you actually roomed like beside each other that one year. I think you were Brock Tutu's roommate.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. There's a lot of, but the best times that I can remember with being at Newberry and going to Newberry was the time that we had hanging out with the team, whether that was, you know, in the hotel rooms, traveling for a week or 2 weeks at a time over Christmas break when, you know, we were literally just working out and hanging out all because we had nothing else better to do. Those were honestly probably the best times, just, you know, the hazing, I'd say light hazing of each other and just, you know, horsing around doing what guys do, you know? So that was probably the best time. And, you know, the shenanigans we had in the dorms and the things we did. Yeah. So those are the best times, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. What would you change anything? Like, is there like, if you could go back and do your 5 years again?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I probably would. I would probably cut weight the right way. I realized that, you know, am I allowed to curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay. I cut weight like an a-hole when I was in college. So I definitely could have done that a lot better. And, you know, I probably, you know, my performance probably would have benefited a lot from it too. And hell, I might have two All-Americans rather than just the one. So that would probably be the only thing, is just, you know, doing it the right way rather than the wrong way like I did sometimes.
Right. Who was your, I'm sorry, not who, but what were you coming down to 97 from?
Typically anywhere from like 225 to 230 usually, cutting down to 197. Yeah.
So. No, I mean, fortunately, I mean, and Blaine, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I know there's always those two or three guys who do it, you know, in a way that's counterproductive to being successful. But I, for the most part, our starting 10, first of all, we don't have anyone cutting like that much weight. But for the guys that are, I think they do a good job of getting down early.
Good. Yeah. That's the key, man. That's the key, is starting early and often. Yeah. So my issue was procrastination. So I would be, you know, 12, 13 pounds over 2 days before weigh-ins. That's a miserable time. That's not how you want to do it.
Yeah. We really ain't got nobody cutting weight though. They complain about it. They don't get no weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only one that had a hard time getting down was our 97 pounder, but that's because he played football and he was like the same thing. He was coming down from 230, 225 to make it, but
right.
He actually started a little bit in that towards the end of his football season. So that, other than that first cut, it wasn't that bad for him. And she,
right.
I think the practice before we left for our qualifiers, he weighed out at like 94, you know? So,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
So, but cool, man.
The guys who keep it down in between a little better, I think. Cause
right.
We used to have guys that blow up quick. They're like, oh, the term is over. You know, let's get 13 over.
Right.
Yep. That was, you know, next day waking up at 213 and you're like, how did I gain 15 pounds in one day? So, yeah.
But no, that's definitely the key. I mean, Bland, we were just with a recruit yesterday and he was talking to the guy. He was like, yeah, man, I used to start September 1st. That's kind of what was my like deadline of enjoy the summer and let's lock in and get it done. And that gives you, you know, October, November, that's 2 months of eating clean and working out to get your weight down to where the damage control is just a little bit better once you're in the grind of things.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Cause then I could balloon up to like almost 200, but like after like a day, 5 or 6, that would fall right off. And then I was back into like that striking distance. Once you get it down the right way, it stays down so much easier.
That is 100% true. Yeah. The one year I did it the right way was my All-American year, and see how that worked out for me. I think I came back from winter break that year. I think I was like 199 when I came back. So like I was right there. So that year made it a lot easier. And then, you know, the results show from it. So
nice. Well, yeah, dude, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about your job. So you said you're a mortgage consultant at Prosperity Home Mortgage?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I mortgage sales. So I'm in the, you know, forefront here trying to bring in deals, you know, price out loans for people, get people pre-qualified for their loans, all that good stuff. So I'm working with real estate agents on a daily basis. I actually just got done a closing right before we hopped on. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. And I guess for guys we got on our team potentially interested in going into mortgage sales, what kind of insight and advice would you have for them as far as everything from like, you know, Monday morning at, you know, 8 a.m., 7 a.m., whenever you get in through to what the day-to-day side of things, to just training they might need, to just other considerations that they might not even be thinking about if they want to go that route? What kind of advice do you have?
Right. It's the mindset, right? So we always talk about mindset and embracing the grind when it comes to wrestling. It kind of carries over into this world. You know, I'm typically on a day-to-day basis, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to the gym first. I usually get home around 7:30-ish, and then I'm getting ready to get into the office by 9. So, and then, you know, I'm working 9 to usually 5-6 o'clock at night, depending on, you know, other people's schedule, client schedules and those types of things. So it's really, you know, that mindset of consistency and just grinding it out, just, you know, getting your stuff done every day and being consistent with it. And that really has helped in my world. And, you know, the competitive drive, you know, that always, you know, being in sports, especially wrestling, you know, that competitiveness is there. So, you know, being consistent, you know, making sure you're on top of all your stuff and just, you know, just grinding it out every day, because it, you know, this business is definitely a numbers game. You can talk to, you know, 50 clients a month, but, you know, only maybe 5 or 10 of them actually get a house and use you. So, you know, it's all about a numbers game. So, you know, you got to grind it out. And that's where wrestling has really helped me, is just get into that mindset of just, you know, just keep grinding and they'll come. If you put the work in, it'll pay off. So definitely. It's kind of where I come at it.
That's awesome. Is there any kind of incentives that Prosperity Home offers, like with that grind, like that gives you a little fire under you to kind of grind harder?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, in this world, my world, it's commission based pay. So, you know, that's the incentive. The more you sell, the more you know, the more money you make. So that's really, you know, in this world, if you slack off, you're not going to make money. You're not going to have a job. So that's kind of, you know, that's what gets me up in the morning every day. You know, I have a wife and new 6-month-year-old baby girl that I got to take care of. So you know, that's what my motivation is. So
that's awesome, man. On the flip side of that, you know, for our college seniors about to graduate, for the ones who recently graduated, you know, I think we had, you know, 5 or 6 that left Newberry last year and are working adults. If they're looking to buy a home right now, you know, coming from you, what's some advice for?
Yeah. So whenever you're buying a home, definitely, you know, finances, make sure your finances are in order. You know, you want to make sure you have the correct amount of savings. You want to make sure that you budget for yourself. You want to, you know, have a game plan when you're, you know, if you're looking to buy a house, you want to have a game plan. You don't want to just start in the dark and then, you know, just kind of in over your head type of thing. You want to, you know, sit down, look at your income, look at your expenses, where can you save money? That way you have a game plan, you know what you can afford, you know what you're comfortable with as far as like a, you know, a monthly budget, monthly payment for yourself. That's the most important, because you see it, you know, especially first time home buyers, you know, they think they want, you know, they want this, and, you know, they don't realize that this house comes with this payment when really they should be here. And, you know, sometimes it's a reality check. And so that's why it's always good to prepare. So that would be definitely preparation. Make sure your finances are in order before you take that leap.
Right. And a lot of people don't think about all the other things. Like you said, that top tier house that you thought you wanted comes with top tier maintenance too. You know what I mean? Like
those taxes, yeah. Those, you know,
you want that big backyard? Who's gonna mow it?
Yeah. People don't realize those bigger houses cost more to heat, the water, everything. So yeah, it's all, you know, you got to take all those factors into account.
Definitely. No, that's great advice. And one of the things me and Coach have been preaching to the guys is just, you know, wanting to make sure they're ready when they walk across the stage. I felt like I was, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a job lined up, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months before I left Newberry, but just wanting to make sure that guys are prepared, career ready, but also just for their personal life too, whether it's going to buy a house, buy a car, that they've had some exposure to the information that's necessary to do that in a smart way. We just had like a credit workshop we sent them to. That was part of the reason we wanted to have you on, just because I know you probably got way more insight into the whole thing than me and Blanton do. And as a first time home buyer, like I just bought my house in December of 2021.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there's so much stuff, like I'm still learning. I have to probably tell Blanton something every day. I need this, I need that, didn't think about this or that, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, coaching is super important, and winning championships is too, which we do, but we definitely want to make sure our guys are prepared, you know.
For sure. Yep. Preparation's key, man. Definitely in the real world, you know, it's not, you can't just fly through and just expect to have good results. You definitely got to prepare.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned your wife, Madison. Talk to us a little bit about, let's shift gears to more personal life. So you just had a 6-month-old is what you said. What's her name?
Yep. Lakin. Lakin. Yep.
Congratulations. You want any more?
I appreciate that. Yep. So Madison and I, we actually met at Newberry. She's an alumni from Newberry as well. She played volleyball there for all 4 years. We met there, and, you know, we moved in together, and then everything else is history. We've been living in New Jersey together here for just about 9 years now. So we've been there for 9 years. We just had a baby girl 6 months ago. So, you know, everything is looking good on that end. She's doing well. Baby's doing well. So, yeah.
Nice, man. That's awesome. Yeah, we obviously follow you on Facebook. It's always fun to see all the great things you got going on.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
What's your, like, not getting sleep going?
What's that?
How's the not getting any sleep going?
Dude, honestly, knock on wood, this is one of the best babies ever.
Nice.
she got sleeping down within, I think, 3 months. So she's consistently sleeping from about 7:30 to about 5:30, 6 a.m. every day.
Nice.
No waking up in the middle of the night anymore, which is real nice.
Lucked up there a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So
are y'all settled in with one, or do you want any more? Or
we're definitely going to want another one. You know, of course I want to get a boy, you know, I want to get back into a wrestling room, you know? So, we'll most likely look at having another child, probably a couple of years though. Going to definitely enjoy this for the time being and kind of take our time with it and figure it out from there.
And what's Madison do? Is she working in real estate as well?
She does not. So she works for like Canon, you know, Canon, like cameras, copier. Yeah. Yeah. So she works for Canon. She does some account management for there for leasing. So she, you know, like leasing big, you know, copiers, printers too. like big organizations. Like one of her accounts is like the State of Mississippi Board of Education. So, you know, she handles the leasing account for the whole state of Mississippi, you know, all the leasing that they do for their copiers, printers for the schools. So those types of things, that's what she does.
Nice.
Awesome. For the time being, at least, we'll see where that goes as well.
What's your it sounds like you're pretty settled in right now. Got a great career going. Family's awesome. But do you have if you could give us your next 5 to 10 years, what do you see yourself doing?
That is a great question. Great question. First, being a dad, the last 6 months has been awesome. So, I can't wait to see, her grow, possibly add another one to the mix. So that would be, first, priority on my list. But, just keep growing in my industry. Eventually I do want to get to a point where I don't have to work as much, where I can get to a point where, maybe have a team under me that can do some of the legwork. That would be nice. So, something along those lines most likely is where I see myself.
Nice.
Nice.
Awesome. Go ahead.
I was going to hop in. You were talking about being a dad there a minute ago. One thing that I always found kind of funny with my kids, because I got a whole crew of,
yes, yeah, you do,
kids over here, so I've gotten to kind of, after you go through one, there's things you notice and you're able to pay attention to them a little better the next time, and so on and so forth. But one of the things, I don't remember exactly where along the line you really started noticing it, but like moms always want them to be like as small and helpless as possible, and dads, yeah, always want them to be like more fun, like, oh, you figured out how to do this, yeah, oh, now you you can throw a ball. Cool. Like, now you're more fun to hang out with and stuff. So like, are you kind of seeing some of that? Where
absolutely.
Like Madison yep, being a little bit depressed that oh, she's holding her head up. Oh, she can crawl. Oh, whatever. Like,
oh, I can't believe she's growing up this fast.
Like, oh, yeah, my baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I, yeah. See, I love, like, right now to me is the best age, because she is, she's starting to be able to, reach for things. She's starting to, get a personality and those types of things. So yeah, absolutely. Because, when she's newborn, she just kind of
boring.
Kind of lay. Yeah. They're boring, man. They just kind of lay there. So yeah.
Like, you want to hold the baby? Exactly. No, I'm good.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, Madison's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's doing this already and this already. I can't believe it. It's going by.
You're so like, quick. Oh, where's my sweet little baby? Like,
right.
She's right here, but she's better now. She's improved.
Yeah. Yeah. Way better.
That's funny. Last couple questions. What are some cool things you've done post-graduation, man? Like places you traveled, just, different things you've done, et cetera.
Yeah. So when Madison and I got married, we went to Antigua for our honeymoon. And that, hands down, probably the most beautiful place I've ever seen. It's a beautiful island. You have mountains and, the flattest, most bluest water that you'll ever see in your life. It was amazing. So that, hands down, probably the best place I've been post-graduation. But, some memorable moments definitely comes to mind is the Eagles Super Bowl. I'm a diehard football, you guys know from when we were in school, diehard Philadelphia sports fan. So Eagles, Phillies. So, watching the Phillies go to the World Series last year, Eagles go to the Super Bowl, watching the Eagles win the Super Bowl back in 17, all of that stuff, some of the best times ever.
Yeah. It's a good, I remember that in 2017. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good, dude. I appreciate having you on. Before we wrap up, I want you to give, just a little bit of advice wrestling related to guys, regardless of what year they are in school, just in terms of how to reach their full potential. We call it Pack Leader Podcast, anything along the lines of leadership. Just what advice do you have for guys on the team right now?
Yeah. So, coming from a guy that, feels like he came up a little short his senior year, coming off an All-American year to qualify and not All-American again, leaves a sour taste in your mouth. So, the one thing I would recommend is, if you really want it, and this is something, you want to be an All-American, you want to be a national champ, you want to be a national qualifier, you got to put the work in. And, you know, if you don't put the work in, you're going to regret it later. So definitely, you know, those extra workouts, those 6 a.m.s, you don't want to be there. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to lift at 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to, you know, wrestle when you're cutting weight. You don't want to put that extra workout in at night to, you know, get that weight back in check. Those are the things you need to do. Unfortunately, it sucks in the time, but, you know, in the end, it definitely pays off. And, you know, coming from someone that came up a little short, you know, was there some workouts that I missed that I should have, you know, taken a little seriously or, you know, worked a little bit harder? Probably, and it could have made a difference. So, you know, if you're serious about the sport and, you know, you love this sport and you want to succeed in this sport, you really, you know, it all comes down to, you know, the mental toughness and putting the work in. You know, ultimately, you know, you can be the less talented wrestler, but if you're in better shape and, you know, you can just keep attacking and be consistent all 7 minutes that you're wrestling, it's going to make a whole world difference.
Definitely. And how many times have we all three of us seen that match?
Right. Yep. Exactly.
That match happens so often. So.
Yep. Yep.
No, that's awesome.
In addition to what you just said in terms of like putting in that extra work and training your mental toughness, training, you know, your mentality and all that stuff and being consistent, like you, not only does it help you achieve those goals on the wrestling mat, but you've already told us about how it's like translated beyond that into your professional career. So here you are a decade after graduating, you know, still using the same stuff that got you on the podium, you know,
right.
Yep. A decade ago. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrestling, I think it's a sport, you know, no matter how far removed from it, you know, if you've done it your whole life, you're in that, you know, you're in that grind. It sticks with you, man. It's, you know, it stays with you for life, I think. And, you know, to this day, I still think that mindset still holds true. So.
For sure.
I think that's across the board, no matter what you do, whether you're right, whether you're seeking employees, you know, you sell, no matter what you do, that it can always be applied. So,
yeah.
And you know, I think it's awesome to have you on too, because you've shown how those skills do translate and you were a leader while you're here. I think a leader is somebody who definitely produces on the wrestling mat, which you did, but also that can produce in other areas too, like your household, with your family, on your job. You mentioned wanting to be a leader. So somebody we're super proud to call an alumni. So I appreciate you joining the call, man.
Absolutely, man. It's great catching up with you guys. Great seeing you guys. Hoping we can get down there to Newbury, you know, hopefully in the next, you know, year or so. I know, Darrell, you've been putting together some alumni weekends, and Madison and I are very interested in coming down. We haven't, neither of us have been back to Newbury since we graduated. So,
yeah. It's at the same spot.
We haven't moved anything. Still the same spot, you know?
Yeah, Newbury's in the same place. Come on back.
So, yeah, we definitely want to make it down there. That's definitely a goal of ours in the very near future here.
It's a good time to visit. I mean, Blaine can tell you, we got a lot of great things going on right now. It's with all the things being built. There's the phase two of the stadium. There's dorms. There's the new nursing and health science building. McLean's getting renovated. It's kind of like a renaissance time. And every time you drive around campus, you see
something,
you
know, tracks.
Yeah, something's being built. So it's a great time here.
That's awesome.
We got a couple irons in the fire of our own as well. Nothing's official yet, but we might have something new in the next year or so.
Very good. That's awesome. That's exciting news.
Yeah.
And
I also heard Newbury got a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A. It's a good thing we didn't have it when you were here.
I was just going to say, it's probably it's a blessing that those options were not there when I was. So.
Because I think it was like Sub Connection or something like that.
It was some knockoff Subway.
That's funny. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you jumping on the call. I know you're a busy guy, so we'll let you get going. But I'm always proud to call you one of our own, and we look forward to keeping in touch, dude.
I appreciate it, boys. Great catching up with you this morning.
Yep. Always a pleasure.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right. That was Grisco. Coach, what'd you think?
Same dudes. A lot of fun talking to him, catching up with him. Hasn't changed a whole lot. He's been bald since he was like 16. He looked 30 when he came in as an 18-year-old. But yeah, Grisco's a lot of fun to hang out with, and it was he's one of those few guys that I kind of had the rare opportunity to be teammates with and then coach. So the year he All-American was my first year coaching, and then he qualified again the next year, ran into a couple buzz saws, didn't have the best draw. Those things happen, but super proud to see him get on the podium. You know, he's a guy who kind of came in and kind of had to wait his turn. But once he, you know, once he fell into place, he stepped up as a leader and produced, you know, on the mat as well as off.
Yeah, definitely. It was a fun interview, and I thought he gave some pretty insightful advice in terms of, you know, if you're looking to buy a house, kind of things to do to set yourself up for success there, and the conversation on, you know, not living beyond your means and that kind of thing. So I hope wrestlers that listen can take something from that and help use it for life in general.
Yeah, for sure. And you gave him the opportunity. You're like, what's some advice, you know, looking for a mortgage, looking for a house, whatever. I was expecting him to be like, use me, you know. But he didn't. He gave real advice. So I was glad to hear that. And again, Grisco's a great guy. He's, you know, he's got that wrestler's mentality. And it was nice to hear how well that translates to life. I mean, again, like you always hear the old Dan Gable quote, once you've wrestled, everything else in life is easy. And it's one thing I think we all know and accept, but you kind of forget about it. But then to really hear a guy go into how that affects your day-to-day, even when you're outside the sport, is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for joining us, Grisco. So let's get into the Division II championships. I want to kind of just give everybody a preview of what our first round matchups are. So like I said, we head out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa to compete. Shoop at 125 draws Brady Carter from East Stroudsburg. We got to wrestle a pigtail to get into the bracket. Carter's 3-1 on the season. Shoop is 13-15. And I feel good about this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a spot to put Shoop into the bracket, that's probably about where I'd stick him. So, you know, he feels good about it. I feel good about it. Knowing kind of how Shoop is wrestling right now, you know, I'd throw him out there against anybody, but I feel like, you know, just looking for a match that on paper looks winnable, to get that ball rolling, get some momentum going and getting into the bracket and, you know, creating some positivity as you try to get on the podium, that's a huge one.
Yeah, definitely. And so then at 141, speaking of somebody else I'd throw against anyone, Black, especially how he's been looking lately. You know, you drop a 2-3 decision to the returning national champ. You got to know that you're right there. You just got to know it. And when I look at the national rankings that just came out from the coaches poll, you got Brower in there. We're 2-3 decision with. We got the Nebraska Kearney guy, Nick James, who we put up like 14 or 15 points on. That was a decision as well. I mean, we're just right there. And I sent him actually a screenshot of that to just make sure he knows that. But we drew Zachary Donathan, who's 4-0 on the season. He hadn't had very many matches. Cy actually knows him. I think he tried to recruit him, but he's a Tiffin kid. And you know, after watching film, I like the matchup for us as well.
Yeah, I think again, it's more about Blatt than whoever's across from him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think this is one that if the new Blatt that has come out and is in the process of peaking, especially if he hasn't peaked yet, you know, if he's going to peak at the national tournament, I don't care who's across the line from him. But, yeah, this is a great spot to be in the bracket. First round, wrestling number 3 guy, maybe not how you draw it up, but let's get past that one and then hopefully get to the semifinals against number 2 and then rematch in the finals against number 1.
Yeah, so that's Josh Blatt at 141. At 149 pounds, Devin Moore also draws the number 3 kid in the country, and Nick Young, who we've been fortunate enough to wrestle. So we had that's part of the reason why we try to travel and get these looks, is so that we have that body of work that can help us at this time. And we were able to go back and kind of study that match that didn't go too well the first time they wrestled out in Ohio. But
right, it's one that I think Devin, there are adjustments that are easy to make that he can make as far as the technical stuff, you know, the stylistic stuff, and as far as just the way Devin was wrestling then compared to now, it's night and day. So,
absolutely.
You know, not that I feel great against a guy who beat us pretty handily, but at the same time, knowing where we were at then versus where we're at now and knowing what the difference was, that those one or two technical adjustments that can be made, you know, I feel as good about Devin as I do anybody else in the bracket.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we broke that film down, and I think he feels, more importantly, he feels confident that he can make
the right adjustments. Yeah, that again, like we said about Shoop at regionals, loving where he's at in the bracket, you know, I think Devin feels the same way here. So that's a good thing.
So, Devin goes in the regionals, 26-11 on the season, having an outstanding season. Nick Young is, they said 3-1, but I know that's not accurate. It looks like probably just didn't update track.
Right.
So that's more at 149. Next up, we got PJ Wunderlich, who probably has the toughest draw in the first round. He has Shane Gant, who is undefeated, 32-0 from Wisconsin Parkside in the first round of the national championships. But like I said, pinner's pin. When you see your opportunity, you can take it. And so, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to wrestle.
Yeah, and that, like, PJ's stingy. He's stubborn, and he's a pinner. And those are three things that give you a chance in any match. So if we can get him pulling the trigger a little earlier in the match, he's going to give himself more opportunities to do those things. But, you know, I like PJ against pretty much anyone. I think, you know, like we said a minute ago, he wrestled number one seed Bo Perkins from King, who's a pretty dangerous guy. And, you know, PJ found a way to out Perkins. So if he can keep doing these things against high-level competition, he can wrestle with anybody.
Yeah, and when you think about it, outside of Vernagallo, even matches that he hasn't won this year, it's not like he's getting blown out. You know what I mean? Like you said, he's in the match with anybody. He can wrestle with anybody. We just got to continue to work on what PJ needs to work on, and that's between the ears.
Yes, 100%.
At 174 pounds, Dayton Fields, we got a pigtail this round. So Fields goes into the tournament 19-10 on the season against James Penfold, who's 16-6 on the season from Lake Erie. So I believe I was looking at the rankings at 74, and this guy isn't ranked or anything like that. So a solid first round match to hopefully do what we know we can do and get the ball rolling to get into the bracket where we would see Dylan Walker of Mercyhurst.
Right, and just getting the ball rolling, I think, for Dayton is key. As we talked about earlier, once he dropped that match to the Mount Olive kid at regionals, he was able to kind of refocus and build some momentum, just knocking off solid guys. Got to avenge the loss, beat a very solid Jack Bond, and then beat the Belmont Abbey guy, who's really solid as well for third and fourth. So he's one who just kind of needs to get started. Once he gets going, he'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then last up, Devin Rice at heavyweight, who is 22-12 on the season. He drew number four, Johnny Green from Wichita Baptist. What did he call it the other day? I can't remember what he said.
Oh, yeah. Quachita.
Quachita Baptist. But no, he draws number four, Johnny Green from Wichita Baptist, who's super tall. He's like 6'4". So got a lot of length to deal with. But like we said, Devin can wrestle with literally anybody. So it's about making sure he sticks to his game plan, making sure that we get off bottom and some of these other things that we've been talking about in the individuals. But I like this matchup.
Yeah, this is one that I felt really good about. You know, Devin wrestles well. Like you said, he can wrestle with anybody. And this Johnny Green guy, you know, just doing a little homework on him, he really hasn't had – he's been below 500 or at 500 every season of his career until this year, kind of came out of nowhere. And he's been on a tear, so hats off to him. He's going to be – you know, obviously he's a solid opponent. He's going to be tough. But I feel good about Rice's ability, Rice's athleticism to go out, especially if he does what he needs to do and goes and gets that first takedown.
Yeah, definitely. And so, obviously, on paper, after hearing some of these first-round matchups, are we in ideal spots in the bracket? No. But, you know, it makes me think about 2018 when we came back. We went out there about the same type of draw outside of Isaiah, but we came back with three All-Americans that year as well. So, you know, this is an opportunity for these six guys to step up and kind of become that new wave of All-Americans and national champions that will be the first face of our program and the leaders of our program. So I'm excited about the opportunity, even though it's not necessarily an ideal spot.
Right. And some of them are, but the ones that aren't as ideal, usually if you got a tougher, and let's use PJ as an example, just because you're literally against the one seed. So that, like, on paper, that's technically the worst you could possibly get. A lot of times those turn into better draws on the backside. If you drop that first one, and then if you don't drop that first one, then obviously it gets a little better because it doesn't get any worse than the one seed. So, you know, I like our spot in the brackets. And again, a couple of those are probably as good as I could hope for. A couple of them are less than ideal for sure. But I think there's a path to the podium for all of our guys.
Absolutely, which is what I'm most excited about. And just some general information on team rankings as we go into it. So UCO comes in as the number one team in the country, 104 points on the coaches ranking. They got 10 individuals ranked, all 10 individuals ranked. Lander comes in at number two in the country with 84 points, seven individuals ranked. And then there's a three-way tie actually for two-way tie for third. St. Cloud has 67 and UW Parkside has 67. St. Cloud has six guys individually ranked, and then Parkside has five, and then the last in the top five would be Adams State. They have 61 points in the votes, and then they have four guys ranked. So those are your top five teams going into the NCAA championships. And then on the open mat, you have your team rankings as well. I'm going to pull those up because those are a little bit different from time to time. So in the team tournament, the top five are UCO, Lander, West Lib, UW Parkside, and St. Cloud. So a little bit of difference there. But.
Yeah, West Lib has had a real strong showing the last few years at the national tournament and usually overachieve at the national tournament. And don't sleep on Adams State after last year. Last year they had three qualifiers and three champs.
Yeah.
So however many they got, just go ahead and chalk them up to being on the podium. They find a way to show up when it really matters. But hats off to those guys. And I mean, you see it kind of bottlenecks there. You know, UCO pretty commanding out front, but then even the difference between second and third, and then that two or three way tie, and then fifth being right there as well. You know, so assuming things go somewhat according to plan, you probably look at UCO to have a strong showing, but then, you know, look for a battle right underneath them.
Definitely. It's going to be an exciting tournament. And exciting for us, too, because now we got all six of our qualifiers. You know, they're ranked in the top 20. So on the open mat, Shoup comes in at number 18 at 125 pounds in the country at 141. Blatt has moved up to number 17 in the country at 149 pounds. Devin Moore has moved up with his win over Piccarilli. He's moved up to number 12 in the country now at 165. PJ is also ranked number 18. At heavyweight, at 174, we got Fields, who is ranked at number 12. And then at heavyweight, D. Rice also comes in at number 18. So
nice.
We got all six guys ranked in the top 20. And you know how it is, that margin to get on the podium is super slim. So it's just about peaking at the right time, being in the right place mentally, and making sure that you got the confidence to know that your training is going to pay off.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at some of those teams, the top five teams you mentioned, some of them have the same number or even fewer qualifiers than we do. So, I mean, I put ourselves in that mix if we show up and wrestle well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So I'm excited. That's kind of what we're working with going into the championships. We got a strong group of fans and family and loved ones that will be out there as well. I know BJ, who is an alumni at Newberry, is going to be making the trip. I know most of the family of the qualifiers are going. So I'm super pumped to have some fans in the stand, and I'm excited to get some wrestling in, man.
Yeah, excited to bring back a couple All-Americans, if not more.
Yes, sir. So wrapping up here with just a couple general, just some general news in general. You ever heard of Dave Matthews Band?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was super pumped that this past weekend, kind of bummed because I didn't know about it till last minute, but we just had our 65th annual jazz festival here on campus at Newberry College. I was a music major, and it was something when I went to Newberry, I always look forward to because we actually bring in some huge names for that event. I would argue that it's one of South Carolina's biggest jazz festivals, which is pretty cool. And this year we brought in the saxophonist for the Dave Matthews Band, Jeff Coffin. He did it right there in Wiles Chapel, put on an awesome concert. And I was kind of bummed that I didn't know about it ahead of time, but I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about Dave Matthews Band, those horns in the background of some of those bigger songs are really sort of that signature sound. So, I mean, this guy's massive.
Absolutely. And just the Dr. Jerry Gatch, who is the director of bands here at Newberry, he said, "We're so excited to host a record number of schools and bands, and we're especially excited to feature the legendary Jeff Coffin. This event is a great opportunity for students from middle school, high school, and college to grow as musicians and work with some great jazz educators." And the cool thing about that festival is that guy, the musicians, they come in and do a performance, obviously, but that's kind of the culmination of the workshop that they put on for our students. So I know we had a really sick bassist when I was here, Victor Wooten. He would come and he'd put you through some clinics, similar to a camp, and then the last thing he does before he leaves is just put on an awesome concert. So I'm sure that was great.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I was not a music major, so aside from just liking music, I don't have, I'm not as connected, but I mean, you being a music major yourself, like that's got to be, you know, pretty special, and you've got a lot more insight than most. So I think the fact that we're doing stuff like that is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And then on the athletic side of things, our annual Wolfies, which is our athletic department awards, will be on May 1st, just kidding. Thanks, DJ. Wolfie's on May 1st. That's always a fun event because they do it up really nice. The student athletes get dressed up. They give out the team awards, individual awards, coaching awards. And last year, I think Isaiah brought home the Jimmy, how do you say his last name?
Villapontu.
Yeah, he brought home that award, so hopefully we'll be bringing home a few more this year. But yeah, excited. That's going to be on May 1st, and just keep an eye out for that and all the stuff that will be on social media for it. Alumni. So I've been talking. I actually caught up with Coach Tuck on the golf weekend.
He's got some good insight.
Yeah. So Somerville High School coach, where Blanton wrestled, and he gave me some good advice on how to do the golf weekend. So plans are still in the work. It's most likely going to be in the fall. I know me and you haven't talked about it, but that was kind of his suggestion, just based on how busy golf courses are.
Gotcha.
So, but be looking out for that. Other than that, though, thanks for listening. Please keep engaged with us on social media. Look out for all of our content as we're on the road traveling to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But we appreciate all your support so far. I'm looking forward to a good tournament.
Yep, and hey, don't be ashamed to offer us some feedback or thoughts. I mean, we've had alumni stuff reach out, and if there's anything you think we could be doing or doing better, or, you know, just be active. We love engaging with you guys on social media, so make sure you're following us on all that. And please feel free to chime in and comment and leave your comments and like our posts and all that kind of stuff. You know, that interaction's huge for the program and our presence on social media as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.